day on Being Disciples, Obedience in Love. This is our calling as commanded by Christ. We are called to be obedient as well as being called to love one another. I will be joined by evangelist Steve Olson for the conversation segment.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen. Welcome to episode 24, Obedience in Love. We have a banner in our meeting room that says, "Our call is to obedience in love." That was a banner which was first displayed at In His Heartbeat in October of 2018, an outdoor worship time that we spent in the city. And we often remind one another in our city prayer group that obedience and love are the two necessary components for all we do, and are also two of the parameters by which we will be judged. God highly values obedience above most anything else. We read in 1 Samuel, "And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." That's chapter 15, verse 22 of 1 Samuel. That verse tells us that God prefers our obedience to what he calls us to do rather than our sacrifices. Verse 22 on its own may suggest we have a choice between the good thing and the better thing of God's desires for us. Verse 23, however, reveals that obedience is the only acceptable response, as it spells out disobedience as sin. So let's continue on. Verse 23 reads, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." So here we see that King Saul confessed his sin, but it was too late for him to keep the throne. He may have received forgiveness for the sin he committed, but the outcome, the consequence, remained the same. Saul was removed from the position to which he had been called. Whether leader, servant, and for every believer, the lesson is the same no matter the call of God on our lives. Every believer is called to be a servant leader after the example of Christ Jesus. We are to do this in love. This was the command of Jesus, a call on each of our lives. In chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." That's verse 34. Jesus told this to the remaining disciples after Judas went out from the Last Supper. The command was meant for his followers. He instructed them to love one another. Jesus told them that this would be their identifying trait, not by loving the world or others in it, but by loving one another. We continue into verse 35. It says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." This has proven true multiple times at Pizza Man Church, for one example. The staff and other patrons see it as we gather. Loving one another impacts the atmosphere around us. Jesus ties these two items together. They appear to be inseparable. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That's verses 9 to 11 in John 15. Jesus of Nazareth is the example we are to imitate. We are to do as he did, obedience and love. He takes joy in us as we do so, and we have joy as we do so. This is a joy that comes from intimacy with him and the Father. Jesus then spells out the commandment again. So following in verses 12 and 13, we read, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Again, Jesus is our example to follow, to love as he loved. This love he speaks of is sacrificial. Laying down one's life for the sake of someone else is to display sacrificial love. The other person or people may not even be aware of the sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life through the works of the cross. There is no greater ultimate sacrifice than what he did for all humanity. Jesus also, however, laid down his life in the living of it. He did not seek position or stature in the church. He did not seek fame through entertaining others. He did not seek power in government or by manipulation or by falsely puffing himself up. He did not seek wealth in the marketplace. Jesus took the gospel of salvation and the kingdom of God to the people in humility and put the power of God on display as a sign that witnessed to his message. He led by example, showing his disciples then and us today what it is to be a servant leader. Back to the Last Supper. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, which was a lesson in humility, both his and theirs. So continuing on in John 13, we read in verses 14 and 15, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you." The washing of the feet was an example of humility in serving one another in love and doing what is needed. In obedience, we are to do what is asked of us. We are not greater than the Lord, so we ought not think we live some privileged life exempt from serving. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And we read this in Matthew chapter 20. "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many.'" That's Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. Again, Jesus gave his life as a ransom on the cross. For this, we need to be extremely thankful. We also need to see how he gave his life in the living of it. The disciples who were with him witnessed and imitated that lifestyle. We are to do so as well. In the epistle 1 Peter, we read, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. Peter, like Jesus, shows that obedience and love go hand in hand. There are many messages and lessons that can be unpacked from this passage. For this message to disciples of Jesus Christ, having been born again, we are to earnestly love one another. To earnestly love one another is to have sincere and intense love for each other. Are our motives sincere, free of deceit, genuine feelings? Are our actions intense, of extreme degree or strength, passionate? Have we purified our souls? How do we do that? Through obedience to the truth, we purify our souls. And the reason for that obedience is to display a sincere brotherly love, sincere in truth, nothing phony. Meditating on these things reveals that the two, obedience and love, cannot be separated. Obedience is an act of love, and one cannot love and be disobedient to the commandments at the same time. It is important to study Scripture and learn the lessons so we can become all that God created us to be. Look around at the people in our lives. Who are the examples of living such a life? We also need to look within ourselves. Are we the examples for those within our spheres of influence? Paul the Apostle, speaking of the history of the Israelites, tells us why we have scriptures that give historical examples. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." That's chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. "Therefore, let each of us take a sober inventory of what our life is about and how we are, or are not, laying it down in obedience for the love of one another. What is my life teaching? What lessons are being taught by it? What level of obedience am I walking in? What do my actions and behaviors reflect of the sincerity and passion of my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is my desire to serve or to be served? Our day of judgment hinges on the honest answers to these questions. Beyond our obedience to the command to love one another, what is God calling upon us to do individually? We will also receive or miss out on rewards in eternity based upon how we fulfill the call of God upon our lives. I often hear people declare that God has a plan for our lives. I seldom hear a support of such a claim. This is one example of how we parrot things without doing a study to investigate the validity of a claim or pressing the one making a statement to support the basis for it. In this case, I believe the statement to be true, and in a series concerning our destiny, I will lay out why I believe it to be valid. Let's just quickly look at a couple of things as they pertain to the study, obedience in love. Psalms 139, verse 16 reads, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." I believe this is stating that even before we were created, God had a purpose and a plan for our creation. Based upon this verse, I believe we each have a book or books that have been written in advance concerning God's desire for our lives. Since they are God's books in heaven, only He can reveal the contents of them to us. Is our relationship so close with God that He reveals these things to us? Perhaps in a word to us in our prayer time or our quiet time when we are waiting on Him? Perhaps in a prophetic word where He sends to us from another child of God or one of His prophets? Paul gives us another example in his letter to the Ephesians. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's Ephesians 2, verse 10. We see that in advance of our creation in Christ Jesus, God had prepared good works for us to do. Some of these may be general, as in the things that all believers should do. Some, however, may be specific to our walk in the faith. Perhaps the things written in the book He has in heaven concerning our creation and lives? Intimacy in our relationship with God is essential for the ability to hear clearly from God on a regular basis so that we may know what our individual calling is so we can walk in obedience in love. Let's pause here for a few reminders from Garrett.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. We will now move into conversation with this week's guest.
Thanks for those reminders, Garrett. So today we're here, episode 24, Obedience in Love. And I have with me our local evangelist, Steve Olson. Steve, it's been since mid-May back in episode 8, so a while ago since we've talked. We talked about making disciples. So today it's going to be a little more personal, talking about personally walking in obedience to what God calls us to do. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
So every day is a challenge, it seems. The enemy comes at us and we just have to do our best. But lots of days I've found we can sit back and think, well, we're not worthy. We're not in the right mindset. We don't have the right attitude, whatever the reason being. But I found a lot of times, even if we just start something, even if it's started in the flesh, if our intentions and our motives are right, the Spirit will kick in And then it may start in the flesh, but it becomes something of the spirit if it's the right thing to do. What do you think about that?
I agree, John. For me, once I start thinking about myself, now I ask the Lord, this is not about me. It's about you, and this day is for you. So if I surrender this day over to him, it's about him, not about me. So it's helped me out to deal with everyday things when things are not going quite my way, but it's about him. And also, you know, our flesh always wants to feed the flesh, but when it's about him, he will bring people towards us to steer towards what he has for us.
And I found even doing this podcast, the day before recording with somebody, I might stumble and have a bad day, stumble into sin doing something. And of course, then the enemy comes after us. And well, how can you even do that interview, you know, if you're in sin yourself? Well, there's a difference between stumbling into sin and leading a sinful lifestyle, first of all. But there's times where I just have to overcome that and say, no, I'm supposed to be doing this. It's an act of obedience to do it. I'm trusting in God for my forgiveness, no matter how I feel about it, no matter what the enemy tells me about it. I can tell the enemy, no, I've repented already. I have forgiveness in Christ, so get lost. And it usually takes me a little bit getting into it before I start really sensing the Spirit, but it doesn't mean the Spirit wasn't there. Sometimes it's just a test to see if I'm going to follow through and be obedient.
Yeah. Also, I found out, for me anyways, a mindset. And when the thoughts come in, negative thoughts about my day or what's coming up before me, or maybe the last phone call I just had may have got me a bit irritated. But like we said earlier, when we start out our day surrendering back to him and saying, David, this Lord, I want to walk in your ways and not mine. It's not by chance that you have backlash with any of your response. Just after you say that prayer, things start popping up on you. But then a reminder of the prayer that I just prayed, when it's his will and how things work out is, okay, Lord, I'd already surrender this over to you and ask him for wisdom how to get through it.
Right. So I started out the teaching session with the banner that we have hanging in our room, and it's called Our Call is to Obedience and Love. And there's a whole teaching on that, which comes out of one of the epistles of Peter. But you go all the way back to 1 Samuel and that verse that says, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams. And I think even before I ever developed that teaching, you've often said that obedience is more important than the sacrifices we make. So really, I think I kind of developed that philosophy a little bit from you.
Yeah. My experience has been obedience leads to more obedience. And a lot of times it's things that doesn't make any sense. Or you think what's more important right now, I should be doing whatever it might be. What I've learned is I tend to do the last thing he told me to do. And how do you show God you love him? You obey him. If it doesn't, you know, line up in the scriptures or whatever, obviously it's not the right voice. But what I do is he confirms it a lot of times with me by his word. So I start out in the morning, every morning in the word. And then a lot of times in that scripture, I'll line up what exactly what I believe he said to do. So, yeah.
The first half of that obedience, that's obviously that part. But the second part in love really has to do with our attitude, our motivations. And all that comes, I think, from the depths of our heart, from the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. From the abundance of our heart, our actions tell us what's really there. You know, you can judge a man by the fruit, right? That's kind of the scripture about judging is what's the fruit. Don't look at a single action. Don't look at a single attitude. Don't look at a single moment in time, because we never know what took place the moment before.
Exactly.
But what's the fruit overall? Is it that positive track? Is it that track that's really serving God and actually seeing somebody walking in obedience to the call God put on their life?
Right.
So that attitude of love, right?
Yeah. And if you love them, you'll obey them. And like today, I met a guy, and he's sharing a story about his dad fell and got hurt. And I've met with this guy many times where I stop and pick up flooring. But at the end, I just said, well, you know, I've been praying for your dad, and have a blessed day. And he says, well, I've been blessed since I met you. And it's kind of remind me of, you know, you ask for obedience, but when you love somebody, you care about their life. When they experience his love through us being obedient, because we love God, and whoever he puts in front of us, in front of me sometimes, I just believe it's the divine appointment And people, they can tell the real deal if it's God's love or you just, you know. But anyway, I found out spending time in worship and spending time with the Father. And when he does say to do something or connect with somebody, you're doing it because you love God and you love the people you're talking to.
Yeah, so it's loving God and loving others. You know, Jesus' commandment to us was, you know, a new commandment I give you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. So yeah, loving God and loving one another. You know, Jesus gave us the commandment in the Gospel of John to love one another, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And Jesus really laid down his personal ambitions, his life as a man, to do the things that God wanted him to do, to follow God in obedience. And he showed nothing but love. And of course, God is love. So being so filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus had no choice but to love, right? Because he was fully man, fully God. So that's our pinnacle of Christian life to look to, is how well can I love others while I'm being obedient.
In the car today driving, I had a thought today, and it was a time when I was with my wife. We're at a park, and I drove through the park, and I saw this lady sitting beneath a tree by the river. And I just felt the Holy Spirit over me that I have to stop the car and go pray with her. But then I'm like, well, I'll just keep going. And all of a sudden, I was in the car. I'm like, it's Amy. My wife's name is Amy. Lady sitting by the tree, and I really feel God's really put on my heart to walk over there and pray with her. And that's being obedient. Even though my wife's like, I don't think so. And she's like, well, why don't you go there and talk with her? And I'll just stay in the car. I'm like, no, I think you're supposed to come with me. So my wife came with me, and we walked down by the tree. And this lady was sitting there, and she had tears rolling down her face. I said, I drove by here twice. I said, the first time I drove by, I said, I really felt God's presence where I'm supposed to stop and pray with you. And I actually left. And then the second time I came back, it was just so strong. So I said, do you need prayer for anything? And she says, you don't have to. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, God just answered my prayer. My daughter committed suicide. And I'm sitting out here thinking, God, do you even care about what happened to my daughter? And she's questioning God. And she's even questioning her own life. And she said, God, if you care about me, send somebody here to talk to me about you. And that's what I mean by saying you don't even have to pray. God already answered it.
Wow. The importance of being obedient, how we can not only affect our own rewards in heaven for being obedient, but somebody else's life.
Right.
And that's not the first. Well, it might be the first time, but it's not the only time that's happened to you, because we had the young man in the church building that we host during the county right. fair that was making the same thing.
Yeah.
God, if he doesn't come pray with me or come talk to me next, I'm going off to do something not good.
Exactly.
So we also see in the Gospel of John that Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And he's talking to the disciples about loving one another. And you kind of started this whole thing about Pizza Man Church and other venues also. But when we're at Pizza Man and we have somebody that we met on the streets and they're for lunch, or somebody wants to come meet with us, it's a good place to meet. And then we have people that sometimes will read scripture and sometimes we're praying with one another. But people around us get to see the fact that we're loving one another, that we're being obedient to that command to love one another. And we've actually had people, I'm sure you can attest to this, stories just like I can. People that have asked us questions, people that have gave us encouragement, people that just eavesdrop because they were curious about what we're talking about. And so seeds were planted, even down to somebody asking, well, why don't you pray with me?
Exactly. You know, John, that's a good point. There's a time there at Pizza Man Church, like John was saying, you know, we just hang out with each other, love on people, pray with people. And people do watch. The one time I was walking down the street and I heard my name, Steve-O. And I stopped, and this young girl was coming, and I didn't even recognize her, actually. She was just smiling, glowing. She goes, hey, how can I pray for you? I'm like, what? And she goes, I'm a believer. I accepted Christ. And I said, you did? She goes, yeah, I've been watching you guys. I just couldn't believe it. And I said, yes, you can pray for me. But she just mentions, I've been watching you guys come in for months after months, and I knew you guys loved God, and I want what they wanted. So she's seen the love of Christ through the group that were meeting there, loving other people, whereas some people are maybe hard to love, but it's about being obedient, doing what he's called us to do. But we're not doing because, okay, he's putting a big whip on us, but we have the relationship with Christ. And that love that we get for other people It's not manufactured love. It comes from Him.
So there's layers to this idea of obedience. Number one is, you know, God also says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus saying that. So this loving one another is His commandment to us. So there's rewards in heaven for those who are obedient. Another layer is you specifically affected that woman in the park, the young man at the fair. So those are specific things we can see. Now you just shared a story of how our obedience can affect people we don't even see or know that we've affected. So obedience really goes a long way, and it kind of tells us why it's more important than offering sacrifices.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, John.
We can get stories that we've never realized, and it's just going to do nothing but bring joy. So the other thing Jesus teaches in that same Gospel of John is about coming to humility to serve one another. The example I used in the teaching was in chapter 13, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And I think people look at that and, you know, there's nothing wrong with a foot washing ceremony. We had one woman in our group that I don't know what God was trying to show her, whether it was to humble herself or something else, but she insisted one night that she was going to, you know, there's a group of seven of us of which she was one. So the other six of us, she says, I'm supposed to wash your feet tonight. Number one, the person doing it has to humble themselves. Number two, everyone else has to get rid of that false humility. And, you know, like Peter, no, you don't need to wash my feet, Lord. And, you know, and okay, wash all of me. You know, it's like we don't need those extremes, but to just humbly allow ourselves to do what she believes she needed to do or anyone else. But I see this, and I've done a teaching on this whole thing about it isn't really about the washing of the feet. It's about being leadership in the Christian faith is about being servants and to humble yourself serving the others. Because in that day, washing the feet was really about a servant's job and serving the guests by washing their feet. The wealthy people would have a servant wash the feet of those that arrived at the master's house. A lesser home would have the pot and the water available by the door for people to wash the dust from their feet and be a little more comfortable. Really, we need to learn to humble ourselves and serve others, because that's more of a sacrificial love that really resonates with somebody that's struggling with the love of God.
For me, humility is when being connected with the Lord, we know our own sins. We know our flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. But when the Lord just, when he corrects us, he does it in love. Even though we messed up, but we humble ourselves, say, okay, Lord, I am screwed up. You forgive me, your grace, Lord. But humility is, I believe, is something that can't be taught. It is something you have to experience. And by walking with him, what I found out, the more I walk with the Lord, being a believer, the less I know. It's like, Lord, I need you just as much as the guy in the street that just met you 5 minutes ago. And plus, when you walk in humility with the Lord, like John said, not false humility, because people can sense that, but you truly humble yourself before him and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to serve you and then love other people. So it takes the focus off yourself. And people can tell the difference. The aroma of Christ, you know, they can tell. They can smell it. Something's different here. And this guy is taking time away from his life, hearing me, what's going on, praying, finding out what's happening in their lives. And don't talk about yourself. And listen what they're actually going through and praying for them. But yeah, John, you made a good point there.
Yeah, last episode with Pastor Joe Locks, we were talking about the gospel, the witness and testimony, what they are and when to use them and how to use them. And we talked a lot about listening, that really to listen and to hear somebody out, it really is an act of love. It's a loving act to patiently let somebody unload their stuff, you know, work it out. Sometimes just saying stuff out loud, we kind of work it out in our own mind. Yeah. So we're allowing people to do that, but it really does show love for one another. So another verse in 1 Peter talks about having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So it's interesting here that we see that pure love, when we're walking in obedience, actually purifies our souls. These little tidbits that I get to study out that, you know, you don't really realize are there. Okay, so we already talked about benefits of obedience, but did you ever think about the obedience actually purifies your soul?
I haven't, John.
So that's the beauty of studying the Word. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to be in the Word every day.
Yeah.
Because first of all, we need to build our faith every day. We need to remain in faith every day. But tidbits like this is what's exciting when you're in the Word.
A cleansing.
The other thing about Scripture is in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how everything in there is an example for us. You know, even some of the bad things. It's not all good stories in the Bible. Some of them, if a story like that was written about us, we could think that's embarrassing. How could you? But even the bad stuff, you know, David committing adultery and the way that whole thing happened. Why is that story in the Bible? It's not to make David look bad. It's to show us by example how easy it is for even one of the guys that was a man after God's own heart, how easy it is for us to fall into sin if we're not paying attention. So it's all an example for us.
Yeah, I know that scripture, John, too. One time years back, I was praying with somebody who's confessing sexual sin and different things in his life he had a hard time with. And I was thinking one time after he left, I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful I don't have that problem. And all of a sudden, that verse came to mind. It's like, if David fell into this, who am I to say? And it's like, wow, because our flesh wants fleshly things. And we can be in tune with the Lord, read scripture, be in worship and praise. And all of a sudden, the enemy puts a bad thought out there. And all of a sudden, your mind goes towards that fleshly desire. And we all know what happens if we give into our flesh. Like David, yep, he messed up. And he did confess it with the Lord. Humility comes to it when we mess up too. You know, instead of saying, well, it wasn't that bad, but as you know, repenting, tell another brother what you've done and
confess your sins one to another. Yeah.
Yeah. And bring in the light.
That's where we need brethren in our fold that we can count on. For example, the two of us, we can talk about anything without fearing judgment or consternation or being rejected.
Right.
And so to have somebody like that's important because we are told to confess our sins one to another. And to have prayer for one another, to seek God together, to worship together, to do all these things. So we need that unity in the body.
And plus, there's a monkey in our back sometimes that only the person across from us obviously sees it, but we can't see it on our own backs. We turn our head left or right, that little monkey, I don't notice it. But we have a brother, and John definitely is a brother that I love, and we care about each other. And so if we go in the wrong ditch or we're doing something we don't see, if we love each other enough, we'll say, hey, you might want to check this out.
Yeah, it's an act of love as much as anything to prevent a brother from stumbling. And of course, all the example isn't just about how to act, but the example is also what you mentioned, that the forgiveness is also there. Right. The example of how David did repent and he was forgiven amongst many others in the Bible.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up forgiveness. I met a guy this morning, and I was just walking and said hi to me, and I just walked over to him. And before I know it, we're talking about forgiveness and how we have things in our life that we hold on to and how freeing it is once we forgive. So anyway, I spent like a half hour with him. And it was just, it's beautiful how, you know, forgiveness is a rut that we can hold on to and how it does set us free. And a lot of times too, humility. If we did something wrong to somebody else or even confess and say, I had a bad heart towards you, and here's what it is.
So we have the example of how we ought to live. We have the examples how we ought not to live. We have the examples of the forgiveness if we stumble and don't live that way. We also both personally know men and women of God who have stumbled and seem to have not come back yet, which we got to continue to pray them back into the kingdom, whether it's listening to familiar spirits, like you said, just giving into the flesh and them entering into a sinful situation and not repenting and not turning away from it. And so the humility you talk about is knowing that other than the grace of God, I could be going down that road too. So really being aware of that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the teaching, I talked about things we have to look at in our own life. What's my life teaching? What lessons are being taught by it? What level of obedience am I walking in? What do my actions and behaviors reflect of my passion for brothers and sisters in Christ? Is my desire to serve or to be served? So I think our judgment day is really going to be the honest answers to these questions. And we have the power to determine right now what that judgment will be by our choices of what we do, how we choose to walk,
I think we, by the grace of God, because of his love for us, he keeps showing us the way we ought to live so that we can have a good judgment because of positive things in our life and not have the negative judgment because we weren't walking in obedience.
And also obedience too. If we're walking in his love and obedience, there's a blessing that comes on our family and it affects other people. Our obedience sometimes will affect other people. And sometimes it might be hard on the family or whatever it is, but we're not obeying them and we're just walking in our flesh. All that can also be the opposite effect with our family.
So till now, we pretty much talked about the general living of a Christian lifestyle, but then there's also the specifics of what God's calling us individually to. And I know for me, I can tell the difference in a day if it began in communion with God versus a day that did not. Do you have the same realization?
Absolutely. If I miss my quiet time in the morning and my time with the Lord and don't include him in my day, big difference.
I also notice a difference in how my days are going if multiple days in a row I'm not doing what I'm called to do in prayer for my city and these other things that I'm personally called to do. And then I can kind of see a deterioration in that closeness with God throughout the week if I continue on that path.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know you have stories about you get energized by meeting people on the streets and being out there among the people. And when you don't, then you kind of feel like you're going the other way, right?
I really do. And I love being around people. One time I was in Mexico on a trip, and it was a place where I work where they send us out there every year. And I was out there with a friend. And normally when I get out there, I'm sitting on the beach or I have the worship going or the word. There's a warfare, you know, you're a different country and the enemy knows what you're up to when you're there. But I was out there for 3-4 days and I could not connect with the Lord. I mean, and he even mentioned, we're supposed to be on vacation. You know, you don't have to be out there talking, evangelizing with people. And for me, it's not about something I have to do. It's something I love to do. And when I'm connecting with the Lord, being out there praying with other people, I experience the Lord just like they do. And luckily, it was a 4-day run where I didn't pray with that one person. I'm in the Word. I'm not connecting with the Lord. And all of a sudden, this couple walks up to me and said, I don't think he recognized us because you prayed with us like 4 years ago. And like I did. And the story behind that was I was out on the beach and I had the worship going in the Word. And every morning I got up early, spent time in his Word. And this couple that were part of a church at one time had fallen. And they came up to me and said, we've been watching you spending time with God in the morning. And they just said, well, we've been drinking and partying, getting drunk about every day out here. And that the Lord convicted us that we need to get back on track with him and lay it down.
So again, our example affecting other people without us even realizing because we're doing the right thing.
It's not focused on us. It's a focusing. They think this man is spending time with God.
Right.
But, you know, there's times too where we got up late for work and the phone's ringing and half hour late. I don't take time to spend time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, making phone calls. And before I know it, I even read a verse all day. And I wonder why my day is kind of going backwards. Well, the enemy does not want us. We all know this, to spend time with God before we start our day.
And he'll do what he can to interfere with it. So we do each have personal role within the kingdom. And I just want to let people know that in at least on the schedule right now, 2 weeks from now, Paul O'Shaughnessy is going to be back with me, and we're going to talk about purpose, calling, and destiny. And that would be how to apply these things to our personal lives. And we need to figure out what's God calling us, what's our role, to be a pastor or an evangelist, or is it to be none of those things, but to work at our job and be sensitive to those around us, or raising our family and making sure that our kids come up in the admonition of the Lord. And we need to figure out what he's calling us to do as individuals. Okay, Steve-O, so any last words before we wrap this up about your feeling on obedience and love?
It's a process, and it's not like all of a sudden you learn, okay, this is how you walk in obedience, this is how you love, and we're walking this out together and walking out with the Lord. It's something I'm still working on, and there's times where I feel like I'm close to the Lord and being obedient, and there's times where I feel like I'm miles away and I missed it, you know?
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to close this here with a little prayer for those that are searching out this matter. And so, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity today to bring this message forward. We ask you, Father, to draw people to your son, that they can have that personal relationship with him, first of all, in the joy of your salvation. And then we also pray for the Holy Spirit to come to guide people into your calling on their lives, to guide them into what it is you would have them work on in their own lives for their obedience, in their own lives for their love for one another, but that you would impact them, that you would encounter them personally, Father, and bring life to their spirit, life to their soul, that they would come to know you in a very personal way, that they can live their best life, the life that you're calling them to live. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Steve, I'll thank you for joining me today, and I hope to do this again.
Thank you, John.
Okay, and Garrett, we'll leave it to you to close us out.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.